All right. Thank you, Dave Talbot. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, Dave. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. Yeah. My name is J.R. Loofborough, and rumors of my demise are much too early. I'm alive and well and kicking. Just to clear up what happened, oh, thank you, yes, thank that one person for clapped right there. I bumped my head about a week ago doing a manly thing, putting the suitcases away under the house. And I hit a beam, and the beam didn't move, and I did, and I had 9 staples put into my head. And so today was a day that the staples were supposed to come out, so I went down to have them taken out this morning, and they took the first 2 out. And we started to spray paint again. So they decided it's a little too early. And have you ever had staples in your head? It's painful, yeah. It's painful. But you guys prayed for me, and I had some great medication, so here we go. Yeah. So we're glad you're here. We're gonna have an amazing night and an even more amazing day tomorrow, I believe. And I just want to put a special challenge out. Many of you are local folks who live within a fairly close radius, and I'm so glad you're here with us tonight. And for many of you, you've developed a habit of often only enjoying tonight, and we're grateful for that, but I want to challenge you to maybe start a new habit and come back and join us tomorrow. Because as encouraging as I hope you find tonight, you will be even more so. Tomorrow. You'll get to hear from many of our key staff. You'll hear much more from Mike Romberger tomorrow and Bill Fernald and Chaper Cox. We've got some old-timers that we're bringing up from the past. And you just really, I think you will be very encouraged. In fact, that's one of our goals for this weekend. Because in the midst of some interesting things going on in our world, like a fascinating presidential election, don't you think? Amazing news across the globe. It's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? Or frustrated or angry. But one of our goals is that you will leave here tomorrow incredibly encouraged by what God's doing here. The kingdom work that he's doing here is incredibly strong. And you are a part of the process that he uses to make the difference in people's lives. Tens of thousands each year. So I just want to say thank you. How many of you were with us for All Comers a couple of months ago? Many of you. Okay, the reason why I bring that up, thank you for being with us. Many of you are probably asking, where are the new windows? And here's a scoop. The new windows have been ordered, and they are going to, by the way, the All Comers responded to an opportunity to provide the funds to replace all the windows in this auditorium. For those of you that weren't here. Yeah, absolutely. Fully funded, and they're going to be putting in between conferences, etc., over the rest of this year, and by the end of the year, we're told, Lord willing, they'll be in, so thanks for that. So tonight, we're going to kick off, and to do that, I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then right after that, we're going to have a video, and we'll get the rest of the evening going for you. Is that a deal? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, we are super thankful to be here, and we are grateful that you're here with us. And each person in this room, you have connected through their heart with this ministry and what you do here. And I thank you for that, and I thank you that we have the opportunity tonight and tomorrow to hopefully give them a peek of just a micro portion of what you're doing and how they're a part of it in making the difference in so many lives. So we give tonight and this weekend to you. We're grateful that you... You are here. Bless our time. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Did you y'all enjoy your journals? Yeah, I do too. All right, let's watch this video.
Laura's awesome, and it's been great getting to work with her. I can't think of a single person who wouldn't say that they've enjoyed her bubbly personality.
She has a way of sensing people's needs and responding to them without hesitation with her love and sincere smile.
She smiles all the time, even when she's upset.
Lara has an incredible tenacity for life, and most importantly, she tenaciously loves and serves the people around her.
She sets aside a lot of her own stuff in order to make sure that everyone at Mount Hermon is taken care of and okay.
Her friendship has blessed so many people, and I'm grateful to have seen that and also to have experienced that myself.
She's a very dear friend, and I appreciate her every day.
Hi, I'm Laura Messerly, and I'm the Adventure Operations Director at Mount Hermon. What first brought me to this place is the ability to use God's creation to minister to people through an experience that they're having. It pairs three things really, that I love and enjoy doing, which is being outside, working with people, and doing that all in the context of God's creation. My undergrad was elementary ed with a minor in earth and space science. And then right out of undergrad, I didn't go straight into the classroom because I was like, maybe I'll do something different at first. So I ended up in Australia for 10 months near Sydney, working at a camp and conference center out there that did a lot of backpacking and canoeing, archery, rappelling. And then that is what kind of got me thinking, I really like working with kids and people outside rather than in the classroom. And so after that, I came back and worked at an outdoor school in Pennsylvania and then went to grad school in Tennessee for outdoor education. One of my professors kind of sat me down and was like, so what do you want to do with this degree after you graduate? And I was like, well, ideally I'd like to work in a Christian camp setting year round. And so I started like doing the research, what am I gonna do next year? And I saw Mount Hermon and the Mount Hermon internship. And at first I was like, internship, I'm graduating with my master's degree. No, I don't think I wanna do an internship. And then I searched and found some other options. And then I kind of circled back around and was like, oh yeah, that Mount Hermon place, like that actually looked pretty cool. Yes, it's an internship, but it looks like a really cool place. Yes, it's in California, which is far away from home, in Maryland. So I ended up applying for the internship. And then that's how I first came here. I love that I get to do all kinds of things. I get to do the behind the scenes stuff. And then I also get to work with people and our guest groups that come. We get to serve so many different kinds of guest groups that come here. So I get to hang out in the trees with them sometimes, get to facilitate them, doing Lowe's, team building, and then our staff are just awesome. Things that need to happen are my emails and the payroll and all those kind of things. But the days where I go home and I'm like, man, that was a really cool day at work, are the days where I get to spend hanging out and working with our staff and then hanging out and working with our guests that come from all over the place. They get to work with reservation and event services, with creative services, with dining, just get to interact with all these really awesome people. And when you do that, you can just tell that they are really here working at Mount Hermon for a reason. Our office has a pretty fun vibe. We all have Nerf guns in our drawers, and every once in a while when it's quiet, we'll pull them out and have a little Nerf gun war. But we also get stuff done. So we like to have fun, we like to have Nerf gun wars, but we also like to, buckle down and get stuff done. And we're also there for each other. We have a very open office space, which has its challenges, but it also has its positives. So you can just kind of spin around and be like, hey, what's going on? Hey, Steve, I have a question. Hey, Lindsay. Oh, let me just shoot you with the dart gun. Oh, I got your attention now. Hey. Gosh, I feel like I have a lot of quirky things. I don't even know where to start with that. I talk to myself a little bit while I'm working. We'll be over there working in our own little spots and I'm like, oh goodness, oh my gosh, oh shoot. And people will be like, are you talking to me? No. So that's one of them. I have a really big mug that I like to use. Love the color teal. I have a lot of teal things, like my jacket. Okay. Maybe that's not what we're going for. Our job actually is pretty easy here in some respects because we have these awesome redwood trees right here. People walk into Mount Hermon and automatically they're already like, whoa, this is so cool. What is this place? And so that piece is kind of taken care of for us. But then we take that, oh, what is this place? Where is this place? And then we get to make a personal connection with those people. I'm proud of Mount Hermon and just of this place for all the different groups of people that we serve and the number of people that we serve. And I think just the heart of all of the staff that work here, we get to serve our Creator and we get to work together to transform people's lives in this awesome environment that God has provided for us. The end.
Okay, seriously, you guys thought I was goofy and full of energy and smiley? Hello. Seriously, that's exactly how she is. I am not kidding. She is that adorable. I hope some of you had a chance to read. Oh, I'm Carrie Phibbs, by the way. I'm sorry. Just jumped right in there like you're all my, well, some of you are my best friends. So, and I work in the advancement department with JR and the rest of the team. Anyway. Back to being on track here. Laura, I wrote an article on her in Kindling in March. I'm hoping some of you may have read that. And thank you. Thank you for that support. One person read that. Thank you. And, two. Thank you. And in the beginning of that, I said one of the brightest, shiniest, sparkliest people, faces at Mount Hermon is Laura Messerly. So I thought, you know what? Y'all should have a chance to meet her in person. So Laura, come on up.
Wow, there's a lot of people here. Totally.
And watch out, because we are both hand talkers, yes. So get ready. Stay back. No first row. Back. You're danger in the, it's like being at the water park with the squirt gun. Careful. Okay. Anyway, I love Laura. So I wanted Laura, for one thing, I just wanted you all to see, it's important to us that you all see some of the wonderful staff that we have here at Mount Hermon that you don't always get to see. And Laura is definitely one of those people. And she has a wonderful heart for folks, you could tell. Everybody loves her because she really loves everyone. And we have a conference that has come the last couple of years that is a very special conference called Love Never Fails. And it is a conference that works with survivors of human trafficking. And Laura's had the opportunity to work with them a couple of times and has had some special moments. And I just wanted her to take a few minutes to share with you what she experienced with them.
Thank you. First of all, wow. When we were practicing yesterday, I was expecting maybe like half of the auditorium full. And now there's all these people, which is just incredible. Thank you guys so much. I loved getting the chance to pray with a lot of you today. And excited to share a little bit about Love Never Fails. When I heard the theme for this weekend, engage, come, connect, commit, I was like, that is perfect for Love Never Fails, because first of all, it's incredible that so many of these girls that have been rescued from human trafficking come here to this place, Mount Hermon, and are just immersed in this setting that we have been gifted with here. And it's you guys that made that possible for them to come here, so thank you. Love Never Fails, that conference is completely funded by donors, and that is just what makes it possible for those girls to come here, so thank you for that. When they're here, one of the things that they do is our Discovery Grove ropes course up in the trees, and one comment that I overheard, I love to just stand there and listen to people having their experience, and one of the ladies was up there in the trees, and she's like, somebody better take a picture of this. I'm going to need proof that I did this because I'm from the hood. Nobody's going to believe I did this. So that's just a little bit of context of where these ladies and girls are coming from and how magical and special of an experience it is for them just to come and be here. And while they're here, they are given the opportunity to connect with each other and also to connect with God through his creation and just through our staff and through their time here. So a couple quick stories about connecting. After the Discovery Grove experience, I got the chance to debrief with this group of people, and there were about 30 women and girls and ladies that were here, and we ended up in the same room I was praying in today, in Forest View. There were no chairs set up, so we just all sat in a circle on the ground, 30 of us, and there was a microphone in there. It wasn't turned on, but we used it as our talking stick because I just really like microphones. And I was like, all right, we're going to pass this around. And Typically, when I debrief a group, maybe one or two, three, five max in a group of 30 will share about their experience and say, hey, this experience was really cool. But in that group of 30 people, every single girl and woman shared not just about their experience on the ropes course, but about their time at Mount Hermon and how it had been so meaningful for them to be here, for them to come here. Two ladies had really connected walking up that hill. They were staying in the dorms and they were like, we were walking buddies and we hiked it up that hill together. And that was just a really cool connection for them to make. Sometimes in human trafficking, mothers and daughters will both be targeted by the same offender. And out on Discovery Grove, there was a mother with her two daughters, which was really cool. And during the debrief, the daughter shared, she was like, my mom was so scared. She was up in the trees and she was singing and she was praying. And then she asked me to sing to her. So here I am up in this big redwood tree singing to my mom. And you could just tell that there had been some scars in the mother-daughter relationship and just some rough times. And you could just see that that time for them to share together, to have that experience, was really a cool, cool turning point for their relationship. So I just want to thank you guys again. I got the opportunity to go to the worship sessions, which I don't always do for groups, but I went to this group's worship session, and it's incredible. Women and children, the staff from Love Never Fails, which is the organization that really runs this retreat, is incredible. Those women just have such a heart for these girls. And they're just in there worshiping with flags, and everybody's worshiping in their own way and having that time to connect with God. And so many girls made commitments that weekend to invite Christ into their hearts and into their lives. And so I want to thank you guys for your commitment to Mount Hermon. Your commitment to this place is making it possible for girls like those girls who just come from rough situations to make a commitment to God. And I just think that's really, really cool. So thank you guys so much.
Wanted to share with you all that we, for a few years, we held a conference here called FIGHT, which is an anti-human trafficking conference. And one of the things, and I was talking about this with Lisa also, one of the things about that is we were bringing educators and people who were involved, the workers in the anti-human trafficking movement, here to educate them and equip them. But one of the things we found through this experience with Love Never Fails is we are a place where people come to be healed. Mount Hermon, as I think most of us have experienced, is a place where God reveals himself in a unique way here. I heard one speaker say one time, the veil is just thinner here at Mount Hermon. We feel closer to that spiritual realm. And so we decided, instead of necessarily bringing the workers here, we're going to bring the survivors here and help them heal and be a part of that. So we're going to let the relationship with Jesus, the mighty power of God, wonderful people like Laura, God's creation, change and restore these women and others that come from that kind of environment. So that's sort of the road we've chosen to take now to do what we do best here at Mount Hermon. And we're just glad that Laura is a part of that. So thank you, Laura.
I think all kids should come to camp because camp is just such a cool opportunity to have a blast and to meet some incredible friends and people, but also have the opportunity, you know, spend some time, whether they know God or don't know God. It's an awesome time to focus on God.
Of course, the views are beautiful and like the secret places that we go to, but for me, my favorite part is the people because, like, I mean, you can go to amazing places, but if the people aren't great, you're not going to like it.
Like, it's always in these kind of places where we're stuck together that we actually bond.
It's only been 4 days, and I feel like I know these people forever. It's amazing.
I thought it was going to take, like, a couple of days to get to know everybody, but it was the next day we came, we started hanging out together. It's been very, very, very fun.
But here it's so much different, you know? It's so awesome. It's just the energy, the togetherness, the unity, the community. It really is like I've never experienced anything like it to this level. It's been a real magical place and just a real spiritual journey, I think, for everybody here.
It's kind of interesting because you're speaking these words and you're telling kids your testimony, and telling them, you know, like, you're valued, you're special, God loves you unconditionally. And it's like, it's this reminder for yourself.
All of us have really clicked. We were kind of like family. I think just hearing other people's testimonies have really been encouraging and stuff, like, you know, in my walk.
The last couple years, I was like, I've been not too close to the Lord. I think I'm gonna go home with like reading my Bible more and praying more and getting to know God more, drawing back to Him.
Don't we say that we have a relationship with Christ? So to me, it's like, if you want to build on that relationship, then come out here and see who you really are. You know, see what God really has for you. You know, spend some time in the Word. Spend some time around other people who aren't afraid to talk about things that really matter.
Just knowing that camp changes lives and that the little things we do with Timberline and also with Camp Hope, that just saying the Word of God and just also living it out when Camp Hope is here, that it all makes a huge difference.
This summer, countless times we've heard people and campers just saying, I learned this summer that I am God's masterpiece. I learned that I am loved by God. Another story is from a young girl that came to a high adventure camp and she gave her life to Jesus. Let me just share with you what she had to say about her time at Kidder Creek. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I loved camp this year and it is all because of you. I became a masterpiece restored by Jesus. I learned how to worship God at the campfire and loved singing the theme song over and over. Create in me a clean heart. I promise I will never forget it.
Why shouldn't they come? This is incredible. This is the best week of my entire summer. I want to come back again. This is so cool. Oh my gosh.
Camp has been awesome. I mean, I kind of didn't know what I was signing myself up for. I heard, you know, backpacking and river rafting and stuff like that, but it's been just kind of pushed me outside of my comfort zone in a really adventuresome way, and it's been really awesome.
We're going home changed. And it ain't because of me, and it ain't because of anyone here, man. You know? It's like, it's just kind of the way it is. And I couldn't think of anything greater than that.
You'll also see the beauty that comes from a life transformed. God's work that He's done here, and not only in your life, but also in a camper's life. Quite honoring to be a part of that.
So that's what I'm gonna tell people. Come to Kidder Creek.
Doesn't it make you want to go to Kidder Creek? Is that amazing? How many of you have been up to Kidder Creek? See, oh, there's so many people left to go. It is absolutely beautiful property. And they have a really cool thing in a get-together in September called Apple Fest that if you can orchestrate your calendar, it is a wonderful outreach to the community, and they do a bang-up job, and you'll have every Apple product you can imagine, and just get to meet a bunch of people. We really wanted you to see that, because you can see how many people haven't been to Kidder Creek. This is what's happening up in Northern California. You are helping to make that happen. And the guy who's leading the way is our wonderful Andy Workin and his wife, Emily. Why don't you all stand up? They are just... Andy's going into his third summer now as director up there, and we couldn't be more thrilled. He has embraced that community. His family has fully just grabbed a hold of everything. And in fact, they're having their sixth child now coming up. What's the due date, Em? August 12th. Pick the hottest time of the month. Why not? Of the year. There you go. They're hardy. Anyway, so take time. I know that we had a good group of people that went to see Andy's seminar today, and I know I talked to a couple of you that you enjoyed learning about really all that's happening. So take a moment to say hello to them while they're here with their five beautiful children there. So anyway, so thank you, Andy, for all that you're doing. So Chief, why don't you come on up, please? I call him Chief sometimes because he's my chief.
What are we going to do now, Carrie?
Well, as always, we're going to say thank you. Thank you.
I better put my glasses on.
Absolutely. I had to wear my progressives because I thought that on-off thing is not going to work right now. I need them fully on, right?
Okay.
Andrew's got tissue in case JR starts to bleed up here, so we're prepared, okay? Don't be afraid. Front row safe. It's not that bad up there, okay? Well, Andrew, you're the only one in the front row, so that's good. Anyway, we just, you know, this is our happy time. Even though it's a lot of work getting ready, because we take it very seriously, you all are very special to us. You are our associates family. You are our Mount Hermon associates, and we love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making the time.
Absolutely.
When JR and I arrived here early in 1998, the associates program was a pretty new thing. There were only 98 couples and single, you know, 98 associates at that time. And it was a pretty new concept, actually. The board and our executive leadership were like, this is a little bit. There was a lot of praying and wrestling that went on with that whole thing. But now we look at you and we think, wow, you are so much, for over 20 years now, have become so much a part of the life of Mount Hermon. You are part of the culture here. You are woven into the fabric of our lives, and we will never know what life is like without our Mount Hermon associates, oh please God. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. In 1998, as I said, we had 98 associates. At the end of 2015, we started 2016 with 990. Isn't that yay? I told you they'd clap for that. I said, we're so proud. So we just want to thank you, and it's really because of your support. It's also important, you know, with the Lord's blessing, of course, first off, we have become completely dependent upon your prayers and your financial support for this ministry to move forward. And really, and for the encouragement and the support and you love that you give us as a staff, we're blown away that you care so much about us. So thank you. You will never fully appreciate probably the esteem to which we hold you all. Even the newest people on staff know, the associates are coming. So you know what? You're very important to our family. And we firmly believe that God uses his people to accomplish his will and his plans here on earth. So you are part of what God has called. God has called you here to help with us at this time. So, you know, we look at where we've come. For example, how many people have been here? I picked this random number. Since 1960, like you've gone all the way back to 1960. How many people? There's a handful. That's pretty good. Some of you have gone back even further, but we won't go there. You think about that. That's 56 years. 56 years. I mean, that dining hall wasn't there. This building was, thankfully. But that dining hall wasn't there. You all have seen huge changes.
I was born in 1960.
I know, yeah.
It's a great year.
He's just a baby. Just a baby. But we now look at 20 years. You know, we look at the things that have happened in 20 years, just since the associates have been in our world. And I think probably this ministry has changed more than we could have ever imagined it. I think about the founders, the people who started Mount Hermon, wouldn't their heads be blown right now looking at what we've become? So there's a lot of things that have happened and grown and changed. But Jerry, why don't you tell us about at least one of them?
Well, one for sure that jumps out at me, at least in the time that I've been here, is our staff. And early on, I heard over and over, and I found this to be true ever since then, that maybe the greatest asset, tangible asset, that God provides here at this ministry is our amazing staff. And the staff has changed dramatically over the time that we've been here, not only in terms of its size, but in terms of the way that it is made up. In 1998, when Carrie and I arrived, there were 123 staff members that served year-round. And it was a combination of 73 full-time people and approximately 50 part-time in some capacity or another. Fast forward to today, and our year-round staff, if you will, numbers 295. And it's interesting because the full-time staff number has actually gone down a little bit to 67, even though that includes Kidder Creek, which wasn't with us back in 1998. And the part-time staff in various different, you know, dimensions in terms of how that's made up over the course of the year, 228. In 1998, we would hire approximately 200 summer staffers to help us through that season, and today about 250. So effectively, not only is the composition of the staff been changed a little bit to meet the needs and the growing really breadth of our programs, but also the size has effectively doubled also. Now, the number of guests that we serve, around 50,000, give or take, probably a little bit less than that, was the number that we were able to track in 1998. And today, it's well over 70,000 people a year throughout all our facilities. So it's a significant amount of growth. God's enabled us to just reach so many more lives. But growth of staff is just one component. Another aspect that I often see that you have so much of your fingerprints on are so many of our ministries of arenas of ministry, I should say, and that, of course, are our facilities. And they've grown a little bit since then, right?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so 1996, when the associates began, this was it. Conference Center, Ponderosa Lodge, Redwood Camp. That was Mount Hermon, yes? We're all in agreement? There's no sleight of hand or anything? Okay, so 2016, fast forward. We still have, thank goodness, Conference Center, Ponderosa Lodge, and Redwood Camp. But boy, have we grown. Just think about in terms of structures. The Field House in 2006, the Field House came to be. What was life like before the Field House? Holy Toledo. It seems like it's always been there now. Originally, we built that, of course, as a recreational facility because we needed a place. We thought, well, we have men's groups here, and there's 400 men, and it's pouring rain. What are they going to do? They don't want to sit and knit and hang out and talk and drink coffee. They need to go play basketball. So we need a recreation facility. So we built it. And we also thought when the time comes that this building will be rebuilt, who knows, that's where we're going to be able to meet. So that was kind of the intent, right? Little did we know the impact that it would have in terms of a ministry arena. So we have a great group that comes every January. Just to give you an example, called Grace Point. They're out of the Grace Point of Alameda Church, okay, which is a large church, and it plans churches all over college campuses around the Greater Bay Area. Well, every January, this group comes, and they're primarily out of the Berkeley campus. It is a huge group. They initially met in here in like 2006, and there was like 700. Can you imagine? The doors aren't open. It's January. Get to know your neighbor, right? It was close. So as they started to grow, they wanted to keep coming here. But where were they going to go? We had the Field House. So now, every January, they meet in the Field House, and they are busting out 750, 800 young people. The cool part about this, less than 1% of the students that come are Caucasian. It is primarily Chinese, with a large, large number of unchurched, unsaved people that don't know the Lord. So as a result of this impactful weekend, and they do a really good job, a lot of people come to know Jesus. In January of this year, 45 students accepted Christ over the weekend. So cool. Yeah. Who'd have thought? Yeah. So that's just one thing, the Field House. Well, now, as many of you know, 2016, Redwood Camps got a whole new show happening. We've got the Samuelson Pavilion. I'm sorry we had to cancel the tour today, but it was going to be muckety-muck in the rain and everything. But we know that's going to be the new Field House of Redwood Camp, and we're so excited to see what's going to be happening down there, how lives are going to be changed, relationships are going to be built, and all the fun that's going to happen. So that's just there. So that's the conference center. Well, in 2003... Whisper Canyon came on board. Now, we don't hear a lot about Whisper Canyon, but do not mistake it. Even though it's a very simple, low-key operation, lives are being changed, and it reaches a very special community. 2004, Kidder Creek became part of the Mount Hermon family. We had a great relationship with Kidder Creek before. My son went there in 7th and 8th grade, Whitewater Wilderness Camp, and he'll never forget it. But that came into it. You just saw a video. How blessed are we to have that now as part of our Mount Hermon family, right? And then the Canopy Tour was built in 2008. The Canopy Tour. Hasn't that been here forever? Oh, my gosh. Tens of thousands of people come to this campus that would never step foot on a Christian camp or conference center because they go to that, right? And then they ask questions like, what is this place? We have people that come in the summertime, and they see those Sunday opening picnics, and they say, I want to do that. What is that? And they do. We've gotten people that have come back. And as a result of that, how cool. Same time, Sequoia Adventure Course was built also in 2008, which just bumped up our adventure recreation options. Huge options for our conferees, not only at family camp, but also throughout the year and guest groups. Well, we just almost tripled the size of that. This year in March, it was blown up. You're going to hear more about that tomorrow. Nate's going to share with you. It's got three different levels now. You can see it. It's behind me, right? It's so cool. Anyway, so that's another huge expansion. As a result of a donor, that happened. That's all you people. Anyway, so then in 2012, we purchased Felton Meadow. Now, we're not really sure exactly what God's timing is on that. It's certainly not what we had originally intended. But you know what? God knows what's going to be happening down there. And fun, tomorrow, you all are going to get an update from Nate and Dale and Lisa on really the latest things, what's really happening. So we'll bring you into to what we can share with you on that. But we know it's going to be fantastic. Now, those are just structures and places, but you got to remember, we have cabins here, too, that need maintenance and upkeep all the time. We had 60 in 1996. We had 60 cabins. Now, those serve both guests and also staff housing. Thank you, Lord, for staff housing. I'm a recipient of that blessing. But now we have 80 cabins. That's 20 more in 2016 to upkeep and maintain. So you can see, JR, a lot has grown. But we don't have all these things just to have all these things. Why do we have them?
I was going to do that section, but whoo, there's going to be a quiz at the end. That was amazing. Is that a lot of stuff or what? Wow. Well, it's simple. Why do we need a staff? Why do we need facilities? To share the love and truth of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he means to every single person. And God has provided Mount Hermon the opportunity to grow and grow and grow the numbers of people that we can share that with. And facilities and staff are part of that, but they all funnel in to the key component that drives the engine in terms of that process, which is what? Programs. Programs. So, some of you, you hear all of that and you go, well, do we still do any of that stuff we used to do? Yeah. Everything that Mount Hermon has become known for and quite frankly been really the leader in terms of our youth camping, our family camps, Ponderosa Lodge, Redwood, and now Kidder, not only are those programs still going, not only are they as strong or stronger than ever, but we're full, absolutely brimming. And then all those other things that Carrie just shared with you are new doors that are being opened up. And as you think about, well, why do we have to do all those new things? Well, part of it is God opens doors for us to do it. And secondly, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but I have. Things tend to change over time. Have you noticed that? And my kids aren't quite as interested in many of the things that I was once interested in. And you've probably seen that in your grandkids. And a lot of our kids are so tied up with electronic stuff to put them up in a tree or to get them out on a bike anymore. I mean, I grew up on a bike. A lot of kids, they get a bike for Christmas. It goes around the block a couple times. It goes back into the garage, and we get back on the computer. So it's part of the process culturally to reach out and connect with these folks. I could go through a zillion other programs, but I'm just going to name two of the newest ones. New, I put that in quotation, that have had a huge impact. In 1995, we added a program called our Outdoor Science School. And the Outdoor Science School was designed to reach out to children that would come here for an academic curriculum, ministry-based program. And the majority of the folks that come to our Outdoor Science School come from the public school system. And there are some rules that we have to abide by in terms of what we can and can't present as far as our curriculum. But it is all put together by our program staff and run by our program staff and is biblically based. What we can do is we can respond with truth and love and complete transparency when our staff are asked specific questions in terms of where they stand, what they believe, etc. And those questions are asked on a regular basis. We minister to over 4,000 kids each year here at Mount Hermon. But who could have imagined in 1995 when the Outdoor Science School was birthed that someday, and that day is today, that God would take that program and take it all the way across the Pacific Ocean to mainland China. And at the first Christian camp and conference center in mainland China, Mount Hermon would get to partner with them and launch an outdoor science school program. It's our third summer there, and coming up in the next year, we'll be opening up a secondary program over in mainland China. God just continues to open new doors for us. Carrie mentioned about Adventure Rec, the team building, the canopy tour, and as many of you know, the Felton Meadow is an opportunity that's opening up for us that you'll hear more about tomorrow. So it's overwhelming, and yet it's exciting, and we can clearly see God leading every step of the way as we just try to keep up with him.
Yep.
Right?
Sorry, forgot the microphone. You know, when we look at that, we think through your blessing, and of course the Lord's blessing, so much has changed here. I mean, there's so much that has changed, but there's, you know, especially during the course of our, even this last 20 years, it's accelerated, but during those 20 years, the years of our associate family, there's one thing that hasn't changed. Isn't that right, Chief?
There is, and it's really all of you, the associates, because even 20 years ago, by the way, let me just quickly ask, is there anyone in the room here that became an associate with us when the program launched in 1996? Look at that. Look at that. Thank you, guys. And you're still with us today. So I'm going to guess there was about 15-ish hands that went up there. And then look how God has multiplied that. And this, of course, there's lots. The majority of our associate brothers and sisters are not here. The associates program has been fundamental. And God has continued to grow us as a group and as a ministry force as he has grown Mount Hermon. And it's been amazing to watch how that parallel has occurred. And it's his recipe, and it's his way of doing things so that all of us can be part of that. Clearly, he doesn't need us, but he chooses to pull all of us in and allow us to be part of what he's doing. And the associate program, when it was originally birthed, the components of it were laid out, and they remain true to this day. There's a prayer component. We ask you to commit to pray for us. There's a, what I like to call an ambassador component, where we want you to be an advocate for Mount Hermon beyond the reservation here and to share good things and to bring people to concerts and conferences and even to this, and you do that. But there's also a financial component. And that might have been the hardest component, I'm told, because this occurred a couple years before I got here, but that might have been the hardest component for our leadership and our board in that day to determine what's the right threshold financially for people. What's the amount that would be reflective and allow people to really make a difference and yet be a stretch, etc. And there was a lot of prayer and process that went into that. And that amount, as you all know, financially is $500 a year. And that hasn't changed for 20 years. Even though all these other things have changed, our staff has doubled, our programs have exploded, you know, our facilities have had to grow, the staff housing needs have increased, all of those things have grown, but we've continued to maintain the parameters, and God has blessed our numbers. But, you know, you can't help but, if you've heard half of what Kerry has shared here tonight, you can't help but, I think the medication is starting to overtake my mouth right now, okay? All right, everybody be patient. If I get out of control, Andrew has permission to pull me off the stage. All right, Akira has assured me she can do this without me, and I think she probably can. All right. You can't help but recognize the doors that God continues to open for us to go through faithfully. And part of that faithful faith process is recognizing the need to adjust and grow, not just our programs, but also our associates program. You know, beyond Mount Hermon, many of you, everyone in this room, has experienced the growth in some of the things as far as costs. About, 20 years ago, you could get a dozen eggs, give or take, for around a buck. I don't do a lot of shopping at my house, but I'm told a dozen of eggs, give or take, $4, depending on where you live and where you shop. You know, Whole Foods, or whether you go to Safeway. A cost of a gallon of milk, about $3 20 years ago. Now it's give or take $5. Here's one that really affects us. Both those do. Minimum wage. So our staff has doubled. Minimum wage 20 years ago was $4 and change. It's $10 today per hour. And very shortly, as you all know, will be $15 an hour. That's an enormous financial burden for all organizations, not just Mount Hermon. So after 20 years and a lot of thought and a lot of consideration and a lot of prayer and truthfully, a lot of input from many of you that has been increasing. And sometimes we're slow to respond, but we are responding to this. Many of you have told us over the last few years, $500 for 20 years? Seriously? You guys need to think about that. That's maybe not the best threshold. So it's been difficult, but I would always like to be a day late than a day early in this kind of a decision. And as we processed this, we prayed about it, we went to our board and discussed it with them, and there was a unanimous feeling that the threshold for, now listen carefully, for new associates going forward in the future will be $1,000 a year. So the threshold for new associates was, so Carrie, how does that, what's that got to do with any of us in here? I mean, how does that?
Okay, well, you all are a great sampling of our entire associates family. So right now, over half of you already give at $1,000 or above. Already.
Did you hear that?
50%. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
No.
We feel confident and we feel just at incomplete peace that those of you who can and feel called to will come up to that place when you can and when you're able. So thank you. We are not worried, okay? And then thirdly, we know that many of you give quite sacrificially at the $500 level. That is very important for you to understand that we know that and we are so grateful for that, for every dollar that you give. Nothing is changing for you. Thank you. You are still a Mount Hermon associate. This will begin in January of 2017. It will change for all new incoming associates at that point to $1,000. Nothing changes in this room, all righty, unless you want it to. How many of you, experience the blessing of Prop 17 somewhere in your life, right? That your taxes, your house taxes stay the same and you, yeah. 13. Well, Prop 17 was very special. You should have really gotten in on that one.
I told her 17.
He
that
told
was all
me
my
17.
Fault, okay? That was before the medication, too.
Okay, I own that. I should have researched it. I knew I should have Googled the prop. Dang it. Anyway. Prop 13. Well, then we have more hands, but I appreciate those of you who are trying to support me on 17. Thank you. We think we did 17, Gary. Anyway, so it's the same kind of thing. You are being ushered in, so please feel confident and know we're all good to go right where we are. In January of 2017 is when this will all begin, okay? We wanted to let you know. We want you to feedback and all of that, okay? So the bottom line is, Jer, as we look at the giving that comes from our associates' family, where does it really go anyway? I know it's like this sometimes people wonder.
Yeah, no, that's really getting back to the most important thing, and that is how does God use your partnership with us to bless others? And so when, as an associate, as we give to Mount Hermon, our dollars go to the Mount Hermon Annual Fund. The Mount Hermon Annual Fund. That's the simple explanation. So what does that do? Well, there's really three things in the Mount Hermon Annual Fund. Number one, camperships. Camperships are funded through the Mount Hermon Annual Fund. In fact, the Lord, through you and others, has blessed Mount Hermon over the last 3 years to be able to extend over $1.3 million in camperships because of associates and others. Yeah, there's a round of those. Thousands of people have been able to come to camp, kids, families, and adults, because of that. And our goal remains, our dream, is that someday finances would never be the sole reason why someone couldn't come or wouldn't be able to come to Mount Hermon. That's what our campership program is designed to do. The second thing out of the Mount Hermon Annual Fund is what I like to call foundational capital projects. Foundational capital projects. And that's a fancy term for something that many people, but you do, but many other people don't really understand why these projects are mission critical. But they are mission critical. Because if they're not completed, they go beyond being a speed bump to ministry to often becoming a wall. So, Jared, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a septic tank that doesn't work. That's a foundational capital project. That's a problem when someone comes to a conference and the toilet's not working. They're having trouble focusing on what's being taught here. The roof leaks. That's a critical mission issue. It's critically important and yet often not viewed that way. Walkways that aren't lit, decks that aren't safe, on and on and on. Your gifts, the Mount Hermon Annual Fund, enable us to take care of those things. And you know, as our good friend Roger Williams used to say, so I'm going to give him credit for this, good or bad, there was no sex appeal in any of those projects. But the third thing, and I think really this is the easiest way to remember this, is what you give financially to the Mount Hermon Annual Fund is what provides what we call the difference. And the difference is a component of many things. But financially, it's the difference between revenue and expenses. Revenue and expenses. In a perfect world, which we don't live in here at Mount Hermon, revenue would fully cover all your expenses. But because it is a faith-based ministry with constantly having doors that God's opening up to new venues, there's that balance that we walk between revenue and expenses. And there's a difference there. And that difference actually, in dollar terms, equates to about $2 million a year. And guess what? Here's what's so interesting. Probably just a coincidence. Guess how much the average gift income from our associates is each year? Take a wild guess. Take your time. I can't hear you. $2 million. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? I think that's a God thing. But see, you need to look at that differently than just that financial component, because it's much more than a spreadsheet. See, the difference is when a family comes with a handicapped child, and we can provide the opportunity for them through staffing and program to allow that child to be fully integrated in, just like all the rest of the kids. That costs money. See, the difference is that our staff, just like you, needs to get a paycheck that's big enough so they can buy groceries and feed their five kids and six soon, and keep a roof over their heads. The difference is so that these facilities, these ministry arenas, can continue to be kept in a way that people are comfortable, they experience excellence, and they can focus on the main thing. That's the difference. And so when you give, yeah, you're making a difference. And you'll hear that talked about a lot. And yes, it's financial, but it's much, much more than that. We don't have time to talk about all the other aspects of it. So understand this. We have over 70,000 people, as we've said, each year that Mount Hermon is able to connect and touch with. And associates, you and I, we're the difference. You're making the difference with those folks. You're making a difference in their lives, and you're making a difference for this ministry. So I'm going to turn it right back to you, just a second. But just before I do, there's the little financial bug in my head that I have to just throw this out. So every now and then, we'll throw out an opportunity to you to prayerfully consider a big opportunity, like a field house or maybe a pavilion, something really significant that we feel God is opening the door for and offering an opportunity for you to consider to prayerfully participate with. And we're so grateful when you do. And quite frankly, it wouldn't happen without you. But also remember this, that and we always want you to follow God's lead. And whatever he tells you to do, by the way, is the right thing financially. But if that decision to support that out of your $1,000 a year or whatever that you give to associates, if you decide to move $500 over to help that particular project because that's what God told you to do, do it. But understand also, continue to pray for us that financially God will find someone else to fill that $500 hole to help make sure we continue to meet the difference. Does that make sense? Is that too tough? Is that too tough to understand? Okay, thank you. I just want you to kind of get that a little bit because it just makes a difference. All right, Carrie. So this is $2 million a year. That's an unbelievable amount of money the Lord blesses us with. But is that enough?
Well, no, JR, it's not enough. As you can see, the expansion that Mount Hermon is experiencing and even what lays before us, there's going to be more that's needed. And the money that we receive from you all obviously is the difference. But what we need more of is we obviously need more associates. Not only are we going to be increasing the threshold because we need the resources that way, but we need more associates. But you know one of the greatest needs that we really have? We need more overall donors. Just the overall donors. We need those people that have decided that every month I'm going to be giving something to Mount Hermon. It might be $20, and that's that rhythm. We want them to become, Mount Hermon to become part of their life and their thinking, just like they become part of ours. We need to connect more faithfully and deeply with those kids, like my son, 27 years old, some of your kids and grandkids, those kids that give through electronic and texting means, right? I mean, checkbook. I think my son had a checkbook at 16, and he still has the same checks, right? Because that is not how they communicate, and that's not how they give. So we need to be able to develop those young donors that are going to be you one day. So since you all are really part of the choir, you're the ones that are already with us. We love it when you reach out and encourage others to help support Mount Hermon. We need you in that way. So the bottom line is you've heard a lot of stuff tonight, but here's the truth. You all have chosen to engage with this ministry. You have come to be with us. You have connected with us as a staff, with us as a ministry, and with each other. And you have committed to us. And we thank you. We cannot thank you enough. That will never change. Thank you.
What an incredible presentation from two great people who love this place so much. And I tell you, one of the things that I think you know about both JR and Carrie, and by the way, when they keep talking about coming at 1998, they're not married. They just happen to come at the same time. One of the things I think you know, and I don't think you'd be a part of the associates if you didn't realize this, is how much they love you. And if you never gave another dime the rest of your life, that love would be the same. I've watched it for a year now, of just how they just love people, period. And I think that's one of the reasons that it's a place that we can give to, because we know that we're not cared for because we have money, but we're cared for because we're people that the Lord loves. So can we thank them for their leadership and ministry to us? While they were talking, I did get a text that said that Proposition 17 in 2010 was defeated. It was an insurance, car insurance thing that never got off the ground. So just so you know. And I was a little concerned when Carrie was talking about how it explodes your brain. And here was JR with his brain half exploded up here already. But the amount of information that we just got was a lot. But I hope if you didn't get it all, feel free to ask questions. But what you saw here is a ministry that continues to grow. Has been led by great leadership in the past, and I believe we still have great leaders in the present that will lead us into the future. And it's a place that God is working, where God is alive. One of the things I hear over and over again is about how lives have been touched here. People tell me their stories all the time. And I'm one of those people, James, one of those people, that life, my life has been touched here so deeply from when I was a little kid, growing up and coming here every single summer and then into adulthood, et cetera. And to be able to tell you of experience after experience how God worked in my life through this ministry. And now to be here all the time, to hear those stories from so many other people is incredible. So when we give our money, and if you've been around for a little bit, you've heard me talk about, Jane and I started giving our money to this ministry a long time ago and became associates a long time ago before we ever had any thought about being in this role. We gave because we gave to a place where we saw God work, God touched lives, and God touched our lives. And we wanted to be a part of that. And so I also thank you so much for all that you do. And tomorrow, we're going to have a lot more that you're going to find out about, like JR talked about at the beginning, a lot more insights of what's going on behind the scenes. I'm going to be sharing as well tomorrow. And I just, I do really hope that you're able to be here because I think you're going to walk away and go, my goodness, look at all the different ways that God works here. And here's ways that we can get behind that. And here's ways we can pray about it. So, and really, again, hope that you can be here tomorrow as well. Tomorrow morning, breakfast is at 8 o'clock, obviously over there, the dining hall. Tonight, after this, we have two opportunities for you to eat again. One of those is actually just to have drink, and that's an espresso. Up until 10 o'clock in the central lounge over here. And then the fountain is opened until 10 o'clock as well. Not 11 tonight, 10 o'clock tonight. So if you want to get over there, you have about an hour and a half to eat one more time. And you should have received in your packet this little round thing. I don't have it with me. So a little round thing called a Tuit. It's getting around to it. Get it? Around to it. And if you've been around JR and Carrie much, they like to give these things away. And one of the things that stinks about being the leader now is I don't get any anymore. No, I shouldn't get any. So anyway, but you can use those for something at the fountain or for coffee. And we want you to use those. Those are a gift to you. So, and if you didn't get one, come see Carrie. Come see, we'll figure it out. Just tell somebody that you should have had one, and they'll be nice to you. All right? So glad that you're here. It's great to see this place full. Laura, wonderful job. Thanks for blessing us tonight. It's great. And I'm going to pray, and then off we go for tonight. Lord, thank you so much for this day from the beginning to the end. It's been such a good day, Lord. We're so grateful to you, for this is your place. And it's an honor to serve you here and to be a part of this ministry. Lord, give us a good night, and we look forward to being back together tomorrow morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.